OneWorldTravel.com is your place for show archives, travel news, sponsor links, and so much more. You can also connect with Robert and Mary and the RM World Travel Show team. Now, back to America's number one travel radio show.
All right, let me ask a question. Are you a Disney or a Universal fan? Well, if you are, good news, as today's personal connection, well, it's all about you. First, we're sponsored by TravelGuard.com/Carrie.
And whether you're on the move for winter travel, upcoming spring travel, or frankly, whenever you travel, in today's world, travel insurance is important for a successful trip. So rather than putting your investment or your well-being at risk, make getting covered part of your travel planning. It's affordable and it's going to give you protection in a lot of different ways.
You know, Forbes has ranked them as the best travel insurance company out there, and there's a reason for that. When you think about what travel costs these days and the challenges you're facing if or when something goes awry, because we all know things are going to happen that none of us may expect, just do what we do. Get the coverage you should have at TravelGuard.com/carry or find a link at RMWorldTravel.com. Look under sponsors.
All right. I'm sure if you're like us, when you've been at these larger theme parks like Disney World or Universal Studios in Florida after returning home, you think, wow, we could have done that trip better and saved some money with some good insider info. Well, that's where our next guest comes in. Seth Kaberski is the author of The Unofficial Guide to Universal Orlando. He's a nationally recognized authority on theme parks and joins us now for our personal connection on that show hotline.
Well, nice to have you on the show today with us, Seth.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It's always a pleasure to talk theme park.
Yes, it is, for sure. So, you know, before we get into some of the specifics on how travelers can make the most out of their visit to Universal Studios in Orlando, I'm going to say this. You know, it has taken Universal some time to get out from under the Disney World behemoth, but to their credit, with Harry Potter and all their other experiences and what's coming, they're a behemoth of their own now. So I really think they provide an excellent park experience today. Do you agree?
I do agree. I moved down to Florida 30 years ago hoping to work for Walt Disney World, and I actually ended up as an employee at Universal, and I have never looked back. You know, Walt Disney World definitely set the standard, but, you know, in the last decade at least, Universal has been the one raising the bar, and with the new Epic Universe theme park that they just unveiled this past week, I think more and more people are going to be thinking of Orlando as a place to go visit Universal first, and Disney might come in second.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I've always been a Universal fan, even when they originally opened, but they've really done a great job with their growth and their attractions for people. So let's get to your latest unofficial guide to Universal Studios, the 2024 edition. We read through it. I really liked what you wrote in the beginning, the Declaration of Independence, where you talk about, I think it's really important, where you talk about the fact this is unbiased content and reviews. So if somebody has a bad meal or you have a bad meal, you're going to talk about it. You're going to give the good, the bad. It's very candid. How would you describe this guide and how is it unique from some of the other ones out there?
Well, we were the very first series ever to take an unofficial look at any theme park. Back in the day, there was only the official guide to Disney from Berm Bound. And that was, you know, the only way you could get information in print other than the brochure, the park map that you picked up at the park entrance. We were the first ones to do objective, critical analysis of the theme parks. And we're still really the only ones who do that in depth. The space has exploded with all kinds of influencers and bloggers and vloggers. Lots and lots of people out there giving their own independent personal opinion. But we're the only ones we know of that still has a team that does surveys, that goes out in the parks and does research on a regular basis to create something that's, you know, not just one person's opinion, but really kind of a critical breakdown that has been field tested over the years to getting the most out of your trip.
And it's opinions, and it's just also jam-packed with an awful lot of facts, parking, all kinds of great information.
And I will tell you that, Universal, I think, knows the day that we send our books off to print, and they're always sure to change some price or some policy
well,
somewhere.
Of course.
it is trying to keep up with the, I think anyone who works at Universal probably knows what goes on in their own little department, but trying to keep track of every change, everything that happens all across property, whether you're talking about hotels or restaurants or rides, it is a 365-day-a-year job, just keeping on top of it all.
Well, speaking of, you know, keeping on top of that, you know, I do want to delve into some of the insider info with you, Seth. You know, so some people, they're on vacation. They think, oh, we'll go out for that big breakfast. We'll do this and that, whatever. As they get to the park late, that could certainly be something. You know, maybe they've spent too much because they say, oh, no, we need to stay right next to the property and so forth, versus being maybe, you know, 8 to 10 miles away and getting a better price. So other than things like that, how else do you think folks can overspend? So share some advice on navigating this.
In terms of overspending, you're right. You know, probably the biggest expense, the three biggest expenses that you're going to have, coming to a theme park. Number one is travel. And, the travel I can't do a lot to help you with because that is largely dependent on what region of the country you live in, whether you want to drive or fly, and, what airline prices are like. And that's a little beyond the scope of the book. But what I can definitely help you with are the other major areas. One, hotel. You know, like in any kind of real estate, it's all about location, location, location. And while at Disney, I think that frankly a lot of the lower end properties at Disney's resort are frankly badly overpriced because you're basically paying for a Motel 6 quality, but you know, paying Sheraton prices just because it happens to be on Disney's property. But Universal, while the high-end hotels there are not cheap, they come with a perk that is unlike anything in the theme park industry. If you stay in one of their top three hotels, you get an express pass that cuts you past the regular line all day, any day, at almost every major ride in the parks. And that savings alone, the cost of those express passes purchased a la carte, is more than a night in the hotel. So if you got a couple, three, four people in a hotel, you can save more by staying in a hotel than you would have if you had stayed off-site.
Yeah, so that's an example of that insider info, because you're right. Everybody, nobody wants to stand on lines. You need to stay in a hotel. So here you're doing
both.
You do
pay for those,
and you get the perk. Beautiful. Love it.
Yes. And also in the realm of tickets, Universal has some of the best pricing on annual passes. And we kind of break down how many days you would need to stay and what kind of pass you would get in order to save more money by buying an annual pass and taking care advantage of the discounts that come with those annual passes, as opposed to just buying a one-day or a two- or three-day ticket. And it's surprising how low that break-even point is on those annual passes. I think that once Universal opens their new theme park and they're looking to trap people for, you know, most of a week instead of just 1 or 2 days, you're going to see very, very aggressive pricing on their end. Because right now, a one-day ticket to both of Universal Parks is more expensive than a one-day park hopper at Disney. But when you come out to 4 or 5 days, then that value proposition flips up on its head.
Seth, you're in our personal connection. And before we run out of time today, I am curious. You said you worked for Universal. I would love to know what your role was there and if that's kind of what led you onto this path of travel writing.
Well, I started out with a degree in theater from the College of William & Mary in Virginia, and I put it to work backstage on the closing crew of the Ghostbusters show, which was one of the original
I remember that,
shows.
Yep.
Yeah. Great show, still really missed. And I went from there to the Terminator show when that first year it was opened. And then I ended up as a supervisor for the Mardi Gras parade when that first started up and for Halloween Horror Nights. So I got to kind of see front stage, backstage. I was even there during the grand opening of Islands of Adventure. So I had a great experience, and then it was time to move on. But I maintained a lot of those contacts and, of course, the interest as I transitioned into writing about the parks instead of working for them.
You know, Seth, we've got about a minute with you right now. And one of the things I was just thinking about while listening to that and from what you said a moment or two ago, it wasn't that long ago you would go to Orlando and you'd think, all right, if I've got a week to spend with a family, you might do 2 or 3 days at Disney, 2 or 3 days, whatever it is, at Universal, and maybe, you know, a day or so at SeaWorld. But the parks really have made it to, you know, it's difficult. Now you need to have like a 2 week vacation just to be able to go experience it all, and you probably still don't hit it all. You do have to be kind of choosy. I'm just curious, really, how often do you go to the parks now to write these guides?
Yeah, I am in one park or another at least 2 days a week. Usually it's 1 day at Universal and 1 day at Disney. Today I will be heading to Universal to check out the preparations for Mardi Gras, which kicks off this weekend. Right. And then I will be heading to SeaWorld for their new Seven Seas Food Festival, which kicks off
this weekend. You know, there are somebody listening around the country, or a bunch of people saying, my God, I want that job, but Sam, do you have it? You keep it, and you keep going with it. So we're going to have to leave it there for today. Folks, the guide is called The Unofficial Guide to Universal Studios, and this is just one. They have many others, you know, on top theme parks like Disney World, Disneyland, or everything that you want to go find. You can just go to theunofficialguides.com, theunofficialguides.com, and get yourself set. So, Seth, nice to reconnect. Have a great day, okay?
Thank you so much for having me. We'll do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Cool. Take care, Seth. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
I made a fun talk, fun job there that Seth has.
Who wouldn't want to go to a park once or twice a week?
And he's on his way for a little Mardi Gras.
Sounds like fun. Yep.
All right, well, folks, we need to take a quick sponsor's break. Bobby has some sponsor messages that he needs to run for us so that we can pay the bills. On the other side of this bottom of the hour break, Rudy is back to talk all hands on deck. Stay with us. The show's coming right back.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back. And you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.